Welcome to the Crazy Fitness Guy Elite, your premier destination for transformative insights, expert guidance, and unparalleled motivation. Join Jimmy Clare, a distinguished thought leader, renowned motivational speaker, and devoted autism advocate as he shares inspiring stories, cutting-edge strategies, and actionable advice to empower you to shatter obstacles, unlock your potential, and achieve crazy amazing results.
When it comes to recording, don't worry, I got this all under control, sort of. So let's just dive right into this episode. And if I'm a little all over the place, my brain is still with numbers and my math and whatnot. And I think I got a B in my math quiz today. Holy crap, I just pulled a rabbit out of my hat. So today's guest, her name is Sherry, and she's a fitness coach, and we're going to be talking about healthy living, etc. I'm going to have her come out, and we're going to go from there. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, Jimmy. Nice to see you again.
I know. It's only been 52 seconds?
Something like that. Yeah.
So before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, how you got started, and why you got started?
Oh, wow. That's a loaded question. My name is Sherry Chaban. I am from Montreal, Canada. I'm a health and life coach. And I've been doing this for almost 25 years. And actually, I kind of stumbled in the health and fitness space. I want to say a little bit by accident, but really the motivation behind it was to overcome a major injury. And what that means is, growing up, Jimmy, I was really involved in sports. I was the tomboy. I was always competing against the boys in class to do more push-ups, to run faster. And I was a competitive swimmer when I was in elementary school, dabbled in all the sports. And by the time I got into high school, I was playing varsity sports. It was normal to be MVP of the sports that I was in. It was normal to get first place or maximum second place in some of my track and field events. And this all kind of came to a close when I was about 16 years old. And I was actually going downtown one day with my roommate. I was actually in boarding school at that time in Lugano, Switzerland. And we were on our way downtown to purchase concert tickets for Pearl Jam. I don't know. You're a little bit young, maybe too young for Pearl Jam, but we were going downtown. You've heard of them. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's progress. And so I actually was struck by a car that day. I was trying to get back to campus as quickly as possible. And I see the bus taking off from the station and I run across the street. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up in the hospital. And I had blacked out. And now my roommate is telling me what she had witnessed. And so I was struck by a car and then I was lodged completely to the opposite side of the sidewalk. And when I first came to, I was sore. I had a lot of abrasions and scrapes on my face. And I thought that was the extent of the injury. But then I went back to basketball practice and I started to feel excruciating pain in my right glute. And then that continued to get more and more severe over time. And within a span of a couple of weeks, I couldn't walk. I couldn't shower on my own. And I needed an immediate emergency surgery. And that's when I went back home to see my parents. I went to go see the doctor. And they let me know that, hey, you have to stop sports. You have to stop exercise. Like, you can't continue to do this. You've really damaged your spine. And if you continue to train and exercise, you're going to have more issues. And maybe one day, if ever you were to become pregnant, this could create a lot of issues and we have to really monitor your back. And so I was told that day that light walking on a treadmill would be appropriate for me moving forward. And so I listened to this advice for many, many years up until my early 20s. And I just noticed that I was getting in more and more excruciating back pain. I relied on pain medication to get through my day every single day. My whole world was about my back, how long I would sit, where I would sit, what kind of car I would drive in. If I were to go to a social environment, I'd always have to ask the host if it's okay to go lie down somewhere, if there's a place for me to lie down. And so just in my early 20s, realizing that I was now hanging out with a different crowd, I was engaging in a lot of habits that, let's say, parents tell us not to do. I just kind of woke up like, I don't know who I am. Like, who is this person? I can't even believe that I'm engaging in some of these things. And so that was the first time I actually decided and made the intention to sign up at a gym, I had no idea what I was doing at that point. Growing up, I was only in team sports and in sports in general, but no one had ever really taught me how to exercise or train in the gym. And so what I ended up doing for months is just copying people. I'd go to the gym, I'd see an exercise, people doing something I didn't even know what it was for. I would just imitate them. But what I did notice is when I stayed consistent, my back pain was going away. I was able to get off of pain medication. I no longer relied on them. And I bought a treadmill, I started running, and eventually over time, it was like, oh my goodness, this is my aha moment. If I was able to do this, and doctors told me that if I did this, I'd actually damage my spine and I was never allowed to do this again. But here I am getting off my pain medication. I wanted to help other people do the same. So whether that is an injury a person's trying to overcome, whether that's a dis-ease that they're struggling with, whether that's limiting beliefs, whether that's a particular condition, I truly believe that fitness is possible for everyone. There is a way to do it if you believe that you can and you find the right tools, and more importantly, you respect your body as to where you are, everything is possible.
I totally agree with what you said, especially the part where fitness is for everyone. And because that's what I wish I would see more in fitness programs, because it's all about, oh, jumping and doing this and doing that. And it's like, yeah, and there's some, and I admit that there's some workout programs where there is a modifier, but then there should be somebody else who's a modifier with somebody with extra challenges. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying like this to be PC or whatnot, but you know, let's say somebody, let's just pretend somebody was in a wheelchair, need a workout, but then there should be somebody also in a wheelchair, or even if they're not in a wheelchair, say, hey, if you have such and such a challenge, here, you could do this, or you could do this, and go. And I feel like these trainers should be able to modify for those people with extra challenges, because they're not going to necessarily know. And it's like, well, what can I do if I'm in a wheelchair? I mean, I'm not, but I'm just saying, for people in general, it's like, well, how do I modify this move? Well, they're not going to be doing squats. That's one thing. And then there's other, I just feel like that needs to change. And then I also think that, I'm currently still in sports. Like, I do karate 3 times a week. I've injured myself a few times. I mean, didn't break anything. I mean, as a kid growing up, I broke my left arm, not on purpose, of course, but the break in the arm was a stupid kind of how my arm broke. I was on the basketball court with a bunch of my friends playing basketball. I fell down, and then some kid ran over my arm with his feet, and so he stepped on my wrist and stepped on, and it was like, ow. I had like, didn't feel at the time, but then afterwards it's like, I think there's something wrong with my arm. And so they took me to the nurse's office and everything. It's like, and then later I found out that I broke it, and I had to wear a cast for multiple weeks. And it's like, oh, this sucks.
Oh, no. You know, you bring up such a good point, Jimmy, around how really exercise should be shown to us as adaptable and inclusive to everyone. And what's super interesting around that concept is, just similar to social media, it almost seems like everyone just wants to show you the quote unquote what should be, or the best, or what looks like perfect. And I think this is a really big issue, especially now when we understand that there's filters and there's photoshopping and there's all these things. And so we tend to be shown the right stuff, and we tend to be shown what perfection is. And when you notice too, whenever you look at anyone who got progress in the gym, they don't always show you the before photos. They'll show you the after photos. And no one ever really wants to show you the journey, and no one ever wants to show you the struggle. And so you bring up such a beautiful and very valuable point. And I couldn't agree more, because there were moments, and I mean, I've had surgery on my back twice. I actually ended up having a second back surgery in 2012 where I was millimeters away from paralysis. So this whole story about the wheelchair, that could have been my life, and that's a reality for me. And there are days where I still continue to experience back pain or issues that may limit me. But there's a great need for gratitude, first and foremost, to just be able to have whatever we currently have. And we don't always get to choose that. We don't get to choose how we look. We don't get to choose what we're dealt with. And we all have something. I truly believe we all have some sort of struggle, and we all have some sort of obstacle. But I think what really helps, and kind of coming back to what you said earlier, is for us to focus on what we can do versus what we can't do. And so for me, for example, when I've had surgery twice, they've removed pieces of my spine. So two lumbar vertebrae, they've actually had to remove a piece of that bone to create space for the disc so that doesn't continue to compress on the nerves. And so I don't have that type of reinforcement, or let's call it that shock absorbance, that let's say a healthy spine would have. So I actually am very limited, let's say, with the amount of weight that I can do or that I can lift and the type of impact that I can apply on my spine. And so I've always been very also mindful of rotation movements and flexion movements. But if I continue to focus on what I can't do, if I continue to focus on what my limitations are, that feels trapping. That feels like I'm stuck. And so what I ended up doing actually is focusing on the things that I can do. And that now I realize, wow, that's a longer list than the things that I can't do. And so if we all take that position, where first and foremost, we understand that what we see on social media is what people want us to see. It's not really the truth of what's going on. It's what people want us to see. And secondly, instead of focusing on the things that we can't do, just like focusing on the things that we don't have, what we can do is start to focus on, well, what can I do? And for me, what I realized that I could do is a lot of body weight movements. And so that's actually how I've learned to adapt to my condition. That's how I've learned to strengthen myself. That's how I've achieved the majority of my fitness, really, is through body weight movements. If I do use any equipment, it's very, very lightweight. And because of that, it forced me to be creative. It forced me to be curious. And I developed a lot of different training programs that just require your body weight. And then eventually I launched an app called the HitDex app that's just designed around that concept. Because really, why do we need to be able to deadlift a bus? Why do we need to be able to have these particular quote unquote standards that society says is what we should be doing? What we actually should be doing is tuning into our body. And we all are unique, and we all have different limitations in different ways. Sometimes it's just a mind block, and it's not even a physical limitation, perhaps, such as mine. And so what's important, again, to notice is that we stay in our own lane. And when we stay in our own lane, then that's where we can actually see the magic happening. And that's one thing that I always take with me from my swimming days. So back when I was a young girl and I was swimming, I remember this one day that my coach said to me, and I was very competitive, Jimmy. I always had to get first place. Like, that was my thing. But he said to me, Sherry, every time you turn around to see what's happening in the lane next to you, you slow down. Stop turning to see who's next to you. Who cares? Just keep looking straight. Stay in your own lane. And that's been my motto in my life. I stay in my own lane. I really just challenge myself for myself. And again, I just am so unaccepting of what I can't do, and instead tend to focus on what I can do.
So before I ask you a couple of questions, I feel like you and me have some similarities a little bit, and here's why. Like, I had a back pain last year before I went to Ireland for my dad's birthday, I don't know where I don't know what caused it. I have no idea why it flared up. I don't know what I did to injure it. I don't even know if I really injured it or whatnot. And my doctors didn't know. No one could tell me. I'm like, great. So no one could tell me. So my doctor gave me medicine to get it to an anti-inflammatory medicine to. I get it to go, the swelling to go down. And then one thing I put together in the puzzle pieces in my head, it took me like a, well, I was there in Ireland for 10 days. So it took me about 7 days to finally put the two pieces together. And so I decided the last 3 days I'm going to go on the Mediterranean diet. And because it's like, wait, anti-inflammatory medicine, anti-inflammatory. It's like, okay, well, it's like, I never said I was a genius. It just takes me a little bit of time. It's like, I knew there's something with anti-inflammatory. And it's like, hey, you want to let me try it? And it was a good time for me to try it. I mean, always consult with your doctor, but I was not going to pay for it in $10 a month on $10 a day in Ireland. So I was like, and they get enough money anyway, so screw that. So what I did, I finally I decided, let me try this. Worst case, I get the benefit, only the nutritional benefits and not the anti-inflammatory benefits. And it was a perfect time for me to start because they had on the Mediterranean diet, you can eat beans, and they had baked beans and for breakfast. And so I was like, okay. It's like they're handing me it on a silver platter. It's like, buffet style, here we go. And so I tried it for a week, and I've been on it ever since because I have, my back feels great, my knees feels great, and I had, and during that time while my back was hurting, I was having knee pain too. And I had slight arthritis in my knee. And so but like lately, for months now, I haven't been feeling any back pain or knee pain. And I was like, I love this thing. I was like, thank you, anti-inflammatory diet. I really appreciate it. And I was like, but the reason why I say it was similar because like I have back pain, you had back pain, but then I also have spinal stenosis in my neck, so I know what it's like to have strict limitations. Not, it's probably not very smart of me to be in karate with spinal stenosis, but at least it's better than grappling, and at least it's probably maybe not 100%, but still it's probably a lot safer than basketball because, you know, in basketball, people like climb on top of you and that can damage my neck versus at least in karate, you're sparring with somebody one-on-one, you know what they're doing and you know what they're throwing at you. So you know what to block and at least you have the chance to block versus basketball, you might fly across the half of the court. And,
right.
And so, again, I'm not saying I'm the smartest person, but I do watch out for my own neck because my insurance company will not do that. I'm not going to bash my shirt. Oh, yeah, I did bash them. Who gives a crap? I know.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to point that out. And then, so I know my limitations, but I focus on, hey, here's what I can do. Here. It's like when I need to modify something in karate, like for instance, like I can't do lunges anymore because my physical therapist told me, if you ever do another lunge again, you can come back in here and I'll help fix it. But it's like, but don't come crying to me and say, I told you so. And he's like, so it's like, okay, no more lunges. So I told all my instructors can't do it. And they're like, okay. Do squats, do any other exercise you can think of, just as long as you can keep doing something and strengthening. It's like, so I took that and I took a half burpees because my knees point inwards and bang on half burpees. I can do a full burpee, but I just don't like jump backwards. I just step backwards as fast as I can because my wrists, I feel like they're weak, especially when somebody's shoe broken years ago when I was growing up. So I was like, yeah, my wrists are not the best.
You know, I love what you said there about inflammation and just noticing certain foods that create inflammation and the importance of an anti-inflammatory diet. And this is so pertinent, and this is so important for all of us to consider, because when we actually focus on gut health, which means when we're focusing on first the actual integrity of the gut and then the microbiome, what we can also start to notice is that certain foods that create inflammation in the gut actually also create inflammation everywhere else in the body. And to your point, that's why you end up seeing it and feeling it in a lot of different places, in the back and then in the shoulder and in the knees and in the neck and all the places where there is arthritis or there's already sort of a breakdown of any sort of tissue, then the inflammatory response will leak out into there too. And I noticed that too, Jimmy. There's certain foods that when I consume, I'm going to feel my back. And so things like refined sugars, things like white flour and really gluten in general, things like dairy. So those are the types of things I tend to avoid like a plague, because not because of the calories and all the things that we hear about why we shouldn't be eating these foods, but really because I notice when I eat them, I don't feel well. I feel it in my stomach. I get bloated. And then more importantly, now I'm experiencing back pain. And so we are what we eat, and we are what we hear. We are what we watch. We are what we listen to. So our diet is actually not just what we're ingesting, but our diet is all of the things that we're actually consuming through our body. Even our breath is part of our diet. And so all of these things actually will create inflammation. So if I'm in a very stressful or toxic environment and I'm always hearing a lot of negative things, or I'm always watching the news and it's really disturbing to me, I'm going to actually notice that I create a lot of that cortisol. So I trigger that part of the nervous system that's responsible for really driving some of those processes. And so just important to note that we don't necessarily want to always look at food as calories in equals calories out. But when we can actually look past that and ask ourselves, how does this food interact with my body particularly? Because maybe Jimmy thrives off of a Mediterranean diet, but I might actually notice that when I eat more plant-based or more vegan, and I don't, well, actually Mediterranean diet doesn't really have a lot of meat in general. But if I start to remove some of that dairy and some of the yogurt and some of the things that are in there, I actually might feel better. And so it's not a one size fits all. And that's what's really, really important. And I think this is what that's what our conversation has been about this whole time, is just like when it comes to exercise, we focus on what we can do for ourselves. When it comes to nutrition, let me also get curious around how this feels in my body. And just because I heard my friend or I heard Jimmy had amazing results on these things, let me try it and see how it works for me. And if it doesn't work for me, it doesn't mean that I'm broken. It doesn't mean that I wasn't disciplined. It didn't mean that I didn't try hard enough. It really just means that maybe I have to find something else that fits better for me. And we all come from different backgrounds. And that's the whole point, is this idea of individuality. Why can't we all just, again, stay in our lane and just focus on what feels right for me in terms of nutrition and what feels right for me in terms of movement?
I like it that you said that, because, you know, we are so focusing on like, hey, you know, this person does this, this person does that, this person also has like, has great abs or whatever, and it's like, you can get there one day, but you know, it doesn't have to be the end all and be all. And it's like, yeah, I don't really think it's even the healthiest to have super huge big muscles, because you want to, one, that feels like it's impossible, and two, it's like, is your arms a little fake there?
Right.
And I'm not going to name anybody or anything, but somebody comes to mind, and maybe somebody can guess, but it is kind of like, did you take something to enhance that?
Right. And then why? I think my question is always why, right? So why do we need to have these really, 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 really big arms? What is the purpose? Why do we need to be able to deadlift 500 pounds, which I've seen so many people injure their back through? So why, right? And is it because somebody else did it? Is it because I think I should? Is it because I'm trying to maybe pressure myself to be something else? Or maybe that's what I've always heard is success. And so it always has to come down to that, right? And to your point, if size mattered, then the elephant would be the king of the jungle. And so again, just working with our own genetics, how can we really fine tune what that process can look for like for us?
So my few questions are for you is what do you think people could do differently when it comes to fitness and prevent keep staying healthy and try to prevent injury?
So good. So not just to prevent injury, but I would say even to create sustainability and longevity. What I would say is, how about we move away from outcome-focused goals to system-focused goals, which means this. So instead of, for example, if someone's listening, instead of focusing on, I want to release 30 pounds, and notice I don't use the word lose, because lose means I'm trying to find something that I no longer have, but release means I'm letting it go. So if, let's say, someone has a goal to release 30 pounds, instead of focusing on that being the goal, what if instead we asked ourselves, well, what do I have to do to become the person who's 30 pounds lighter? And now that starts to look different, because now I have a system. Now I have a formula that's reproducible, that's going to always give me the same result. Because really, that outcome that we want is going to be the side effect of what our system that is running is, right? So that could be, for example, starting to add in different habits. So I heard that the Mediterranean diet is an anti-inflammatory diet. It also focuses on whole foods. So let me try that for 30 days. I also heard walking is really great as non-purposeful exercise. Let me also try that for 30 days and see what happens. Maybe I should consume more water. Maybe I'm noticing I'm not getting enough water. Maybe I should have to focus on getting higher quality sleep. So as I start to put in all of these small habits, one at a time, really focusing on 24 hours also at a time, what can I do in my 24-hour period to master that? What I start to notice is that I'm now actually adopting more sustainable habits. And if I did try something that didn't give me the result that I wanted, or that maybe didn't even work with me or align with my schedule or my lifestyle, then I could release that habit and try a different one. But ultimately, what we're going to focus on is really full transformation, transformation of identity, transformation of lifestyle, instead of just focusing on the outcome or the result. Because here's what most people do. The moment that they achieve their goal, their weight loss goal, because that's generally the goal that most people have, they stop working. So as soon as they've finished their 12-week program, they've released their 30 pounds. All right, I'm done. Now let me go back to the way it was. And it's almost like this rubber band effect. So when we don't change our identity, which is our lifestyle, which is the accumulation of our daily habits, it's almost like that rubber band effect where I'm holding one end of the rubber band and then I pull it up until it's max. And then as soon as I let go, it's going to go right back to the starting point. So instead, what I want to do is be able to have a new pivot point. And that pivot point is going to be where I want to go. As I start to focus on who I want to become, what I want to actually start to incorporate into my day-to-day life are the habits that are going to align with that person that I want to become, and not just the results that I want to have.
I definitely like that analogy, like a rubber band. My karate instructor has always talked about the when some people hit a plateau, they try something different and then goes falls back down and tries again and then goes this and there. And we always say in karate, it's like be the person who hits a plateau, then keeps going, hits another plateau until you hit the next one, and keep going up versus, hey, let's start over from point A again. And it's like, oh, I just got to F, now I have to go back to A. Oh, God.
Right. Yeah.
It's annoying hamster wheel.
Good point. And it's interesting because we tend to also repeat that same cycle over and over again. We try one diet. All right, I've lost a whole bunch of weight. And then all of a sudden I start eating normally. And then I went back to where it was. Let me try another diet. Maybe it was that diet. And then we try another one. And they're like, oh, I lost a whole bunch of weight. And I'm using the word loss right now because I'm just quoting what I generally hear. But we'll notice that we're constantly repeating the same pattern over and over again, expecting a different result. And you know what they call that, right, Jimmy?
Insanity.
Exactly, right? It's like, oh, this time it's gonna work. Right. But what they all had in common was there was this extreme thing that we were doing that was not sustainable, number one. And number two, everything had a deadline. And that is the issue with diets, is that we actually put a deadline on it. I only have to do this for a month. I only have to do this for 12 weeks. I'm on a 6-week challenge. I only have to do this for 6 weeks. Or the 75 hard. Oh my goodness. I only have to do this for 75 days. So you see all these people, and if it works for them, that's really great. But I'm not trying to demonize any type of challenge or program if it works for you. What I'm actually trying to do is ask you to question whether or not putting that deadline on something that you're doing for yourself is actually working for you. And that's what we commonly see with the 75 hard as an example. People are working out twice a day, which for most people is not sustainable long term. And they're radically changing the way they eat. They're radically changing a lot of different things in their life. They have to read every day. There's all these things that they have to do to keep up with the 75 day challenge. But what they know is that the moment that day is done, then they're also done. They don't have to work out twice a day anymore. They don't have to read every single day anymore. So there's a deadline that has already been placed in advance. At the moment that you cross that finish line, that's it. No more work has to be done. And one of the hardest things that the body endures is this constant lack of stability. So going super extreme, releasing a lot of weight, and then going back to the other extreme, that's hard on the body because the body is a master adapter. It loves homeostasis. So when you add in one habit, allow yourself to adapt to it. That is way more positive. That's more sustainable. And that's going to give you long-term results. And results come from consistency. It doesn't come from the intensity. So something like a 75 hard that's super intense for only 75 days, that's why results are only also short-lived. But if you really want lasting results, focus on consistency. How can you establish consistency? Once you establish consistency, now add the intensity.
So my last three questions for you are, who's your favorite podcaster and why? Feel free not to say me.
Actually, I was going to say Jimmy Clare.
Exactly.
And without even cueing me for that, I have to say I'm super honored to have participated in really a lot of amazing and well-known podcasts. But really, Jimmy, I have to say something about today's conversation super touched my heart. I have a lot of respect and admiration for you and what you're doing and your mission. And you're so easy to talk to. So good job. I love it. Please don't stop what you're doing. And we need more people like you in our world who are doing this work, who are reminding us that there is no need to look for perfection. There's no need to feel like we need to fix ourselves in a certain way. We all deserve to be here and we're all worthy of being here and worthy of having fitness being possible for us at any time.
And I also see behind you that you have a podcast.
I do. It's called Fall in Love with Fitness.
Oh, I would love to be a guest if you'd be open to it.
Oh my goodness. It's like you read my mind again.
I'm very psychic.
We're a pretty good team, I would say.
Awesome. And my last question for you is, where can people follow you and find you to learn more about who you are?
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity, first and foremost, Jimmy. I've really had a great time talking with you today. And if you want to reach out, you can find me at Sherry Shaban Fitness on Instagram, also on any social media platform. I do have a YouTube channel. And then also, of course, Fall in Love with Fitness. There's a lot of great resources there too. I'm going to have amazing speakers on there. And Jimmy also on there soon. So check that out.
Awesome. Let's stay in touch. And I hope to get you back on the show again, because I think I definitely believe we can talk about like this for hours and hours and hours and hours and more hours. Well, and you're easy to talk to too.
Well, thank you. I would be honored to.
Awesome. I hope you have a good rest of your day, and let's stay in touch.
Thank you.
So that's all the time we have for today. If you like it, this episode, subscribe, share, comment, leave a review, and let me know what you thought about the show. Remember, keep it PG and keep it polite. In the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay motivated. I'll be back for another brand new episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Health Event Podcast /Weekly.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Crazy Fitness Guy Elite. We're honored to have you as part of our audience. If you're looking for a more immersive experience, we invite you to join our private community, where you'll get exclusive access to Jimmy Clare, expert guests, and a community of high achievers. Click the link in our show notes to learn more and apply. Don't forget to leave a review and let us know what you thought of this episode. Your feedback matters.
Hey, this is Jimmy Clare, and I just want to say thank you for being a loyal and supportive Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast subscriber. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Without you,
our show wouldn't be possible, and we wouldn't still be standing today. Thank you for your support and everything that you have done over the years to keep us in business. Thank you.